ABC Radio Australia.
Coronavirus has pretty much shut down movement between countries. With even more scrutiny on local, state and international borders, it can seem like no one is allowed to go anywhere they shouldn't be going. Which is why news of a crashed plane in PNG carrying a massive $80 million Australian worth of cocaine en route to Australia came as a shock to many. PNG Police Commissioner David Manning said the bust is hard evidence that PNG is being used as a transshipment point for hard drugs and is calling for tougher penalties through new legislation that would serve as a deterrent.
In the ensuing weeks to put together appropriate legislation for consideration by our legislators to ensure that we have the appropriate laws in place.
So what does the drug bust tell us about drug trafficking in the Pacific region? To help us find out, I'm joined by Henry Ivarature, a lecturer from the Australian Pacific Security College. He joins us now. Good morning, Henry.
Good morning, Talia.
Now, Henry, this drug bust came as a shock to me, but obviously you're an expert in this space. How did you react when you heard about this 500 kilos of cocaine that was expected to come to Australia from Papua New Guinea?
Well, it didn't come as a surprise. It's not even a shock. This kind of thing has been happening for a fairly long time. I can recall about 25 years ago when I was looking at the issue of drug, particularly marijuana, smuggling into Australia. So it's not a new thing. It's an activity that has been going on for many years.
Is it something like Police Commissioner David Manning said that this bust is hard evidence that PNG is being used? Is it before that people knew that this was happening, they just didn't have the evidence to show that it was happening?
Oh, there were a number of cases that had happened in the past. So I think, and if you, the work that I did was about in 1994, there was already an attempt to move marijuana, but to Australia. It didn't get through. And then I think as recently as 2018, there was cocaine worth $50 million that was found in a remote island in Milne Bay, in a place called Bodibuli. So we already have the evidence that PNG is a transit point like other Pacific Island states.
So what's being done in the country to stop this from happening?
I think that's a question for the government to answer because we have had this experience over many years, 20, 30 years. And so I think one area that the commissioner is talking about is to try and toughen the penalties for people caught smuggling drugs or importing drugs and trying to smuggle them across to Australia.
Now, Henry, how does COVID-19 play into this? On the one hand, there are tougher border restrictions and there are more scrutinies and check marks on borders, but could criminals also be taking advantage of the way the pandemic has kind of stolen government's attentions and do these things under the radar?
Yes, I think with COVID, government resources and attention is diverted towards trying to contain the spread of this virus. So criminal elements could be taking advantage of that diversion of resources and attention to increase their activity. So that could be a potential explanation. But I mean, criminal enterprises, I don't think they really care about whether there is a pandemic or what. They have a lucrative market that they want to deliver their products to, and they will just continue business as usual, irrespective of whether there is a pandemic or not.
You're listening to Henry Ivarature. He's a lecturer from the Australia Pacific Security College. Henry, often when I think of crime and to stop crime, I think you have to get into the head or the mind of the criminal. So when it comes to drug traffickers, how are they seeing Pacific Island countries in terms of, you know, law enforcement, of penalties, of being caught? Are they seeing Pacific Island countries as an ideal geographical place where they can move drugs without being caught?
Exactly. I mean, the Pacific Island, you're looking at an ocean that's the size of like 14 million square kilometers. So that's a massive sea mass. And the Pacific governments do not have the capacity to adequately, you know, conduct surveillance and monitoring of movements within that jurisdictions. Mm-hmm. So there's that weakness. And people, you know, the islands are usually isolated, and there's or even transferring or offloading drugs at high seas without the detection. So Pacific islands, including Papua New Guinea, are kind of the convenient or have the convenient characteristics for drug smugglers to take advantage of and conduct their business. You know, usually innovative, plus also very brazen attempts like what they did in PNG most recently.
Because the attempt in PNG was incredibly brazen, with the AFP suggesting it was greed and the sheer weight of how much cocaine that was packed onto that plane, which is what made it crash and then obviously alerted authorities to what had happened. But even in this case alone, it really showed about drug trafficking and crime syndicates, that even people as far away as Italy are involved in what's going on in the Pacific. So when it comes to addressing these kind of problems, is it a national effort, or does it have to be international when, you know, so many countries are involved?
It's both national and international effort. So in terms of the international effort, I think what we've seen clearly with what the AFP and the PNG police did was that collaboration to try and intercept this attempted smuggling. At the national level, I think countries must take the necessary measures to prevent smuggling happening on their ground. It's also because the problem can migrate from just basically being a transit point to being a market itself. So you take the case for Tonga example. It was a transit point, and it also has become now a small market where this problem is becoming an issue for people there.
Because, as you rightly say, Tonga has expressed concerns that drug abuse is spreading through the population, concerned about the markets that are created in country when, you know, countries like Tonga, like PNG, are used as these kind of transit hubs. Is there, when it comes to kind of dealing with drug issues in country and, you know, drug prevention and ensuring that people don't misuse or get addicted to drugs, does it involve looking back to how the drugs are getting into the country, like addressing drug use as a crime? Should that also look at the bigger picture, and what is at play?
Yes, that, well, I mean, governments have to really start looking at the impact it will have on their own people's health and well-being. But they should also realize that it's a collective effort. So if they are not able to prevent drugs coming into their country and being used at a transit point, the problem will be transferred to the neighboring state, which, say, for example, is Australia. So I think that means making sure that the penalties for deterrence should be severe to prevent people from attempting to engage in the enterprise of smuggling drugs, and also to look at the weight of the problem on its own health systems, on its ability to administrate the problems that are created by drug abuse or drug use in their own country. So it's monetary plus health plus the burden that it exerts on society in general.
Yeah, because PNG's police minister, Brian Kramer, made a point on Facebook saying that, you know, under PNG law, the maximum penalty for importing drugs is just 2 years, whereas compared to Australia, the maximum penalty is up to life imprisonment. Do you think harsher penalties do actually detract, you know, crime syndicates from doing these kind of activities?
The harsher penalties can contribute to preventing or reducing attempts or using PNG as a hub or other countries as a hub. In PNG's case, the harsher penalties are necessary, but they must also work on strengthening their law enforcement agencies, and they must work on resourcing them properly so that they can do their work better. So it's not just one particular area, such as sanctions, but they've got to also look at other areas where there is a effort to make sure that it's covered, because you know when you have gaps, then drug traffickers can use those gaps and capitalise on it.
Absolutely, and take advantage of it. Well, Dr. Henry Iveratore, sorry, I just keep screwing that every time I think I go to say it. Thank you so much for your time. It's been a really interesting chat, and well done. I hear you've got a very enthusiastic rooster somewhere in your background, so well done for keeping on plot as the rooster was cock-a-doodling all the way through that interview. Thank you so much for joining Pacific Beat this morning.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Charlie, and you have a wonderful day.